Okay, there's a sefer called Igud Perukah. Igud Perukah says that there's a we spoke about yesterday about that. What could a person do to be mechazek his emuna? Emuna b'Hashem. So he said a time honored mesorah is to learn chumash with Rashi. So he says another idea. He says to learn Parshas Hazinu. Parsh, to study with intensity Parshas Hazinu. It is there's a koyach in learning Parshas Hazinu which gives a person emuna and saves a person from deos of apikursis, machshavos of that are false and they're not proper. And in fact, there's a mesorah from the Maral. Okay, the Maral says that a person should recite Parshas Hazinu every single day, multiple times. There's no excuse not to recite Parshas Hazinu. In fact, it was one of the Mamodos in the Beis Hamikdash when they fasted on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Part of the procedure was to recite Parshas Hazinu. There is something very, very special about Parshas Hazinu. It summarizes Kol HaTorah Kulo. Rabbi Mayevsky told me yesterday that in Hazinu there are exactly 613 words. There are 613 words. Each word is merames on one of the Taryag mitzvahs. And maybe this is a makar. Maybe this is a makar for the number, the magical number of 613. Where do we get this number that there has to be in the Torah 613 mitzvahs? It seems like it's a basic principle that everyone follows, but where does it come from? So maybe one makar, there are exactly 613 mitzvahs here in Hazinu. Each word is merames on a mitzvah. Rabbi Mayevsky told me there's a sefer, a person spent a lot of time showing, analyzing the Taryag mitzvahs and each word and to trying to map one of the Taryag mitzvahs. I guess he has to first select who he wants to use as his source. Is it the Rambam, the Ramban, the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Smag, the Smak? There are many different Rishonim, the Chinuch, who make compile lists of the Taryag mitzvahs to use one of them as the Makar to find the Taryag mitzvah, the list of Taryag mitzvahs, then to try to map it to each word in the parasha. All right. So there's something very, very special about Hazinu. There's no question about it. It's a very powerful, shira. It summarizes Jewish history. But the question still remains: what is it about it? What is the defining uniqueness of Shiras Hazinu? You know, it's even unique in how it's presented in the Torah. Right. It's two columns. I mean, where do you have two columns?
Yes,
where do you have two columns of block? We discuss that.
Where it's a positive message, but yet it's in columns.
And columns generally is Churban. The reason why the Aseres B'nei Chamar are in two columns, Shloi Tehe Tukuma Limapolosan Shel Rishoyim. When it's in two, something that is a column cannot possibly stand. On the other hand, it's not a column because it's not one word. The Aseres B'nei Chamar, there's one word. Whatever, go through the whole list. But there, it's one word on the right and one word on the left. In Parshas, in Sefer Yehoshua, there is the Shiras Yehoshua, the 31 kings. There is one word on the right, one word on the left. In Koheles, there is the Itim, Ace. One word on the left, one word on the right. Why
two
is that?
Words, or two words.
Or two words? There are two words? Ace?
Might be ace, la,
a. Oh, there are two words? Okay, that's very important. Okay,
I'm not sure, but it
sounds like it. So that's a very interesting point, that maybe when Chazal made that statement, that shalote tukuma lemapolos and shel rishon, they should never be able to stand up, only going in the case where there's one word on the left, one word on the right. And that would be true for the Aseres B'nei Haman and true for the 31 kings of Canaan. But Hazinu, it's not one word on the left, one word on the right. There are multiple words on the left and multiple words on the right. So each column in and of itself can't stand. Each word, each column,
two.
We're in Koheles.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's very good. So because Koheles is called a Shira. If Koheles is called a Shira, Shiras Koheles, why is it called a Shira? You can't survive. It's no. If you have two, Toiv Shnayim Eno Echad. You have two. If you have two, there's more stability.
Yeah,
in Koheles.
Yeah.
So then that makes a lot of sense, because therefore there is a degree of stability. There is stability. Shiras Moshe is a riach al gabi levena. It's a tower which is very strong. It's very stable, and that Aseres B'nei Haman, it's just one word. It's a column of which is going to collapse. But Hazinu is not going to collapse, because although it does appear from the outside to be two columns, each column does have support within itself, because there are multiple words and each word is built upon a base, a foundation of more words. Okay, putting that aside, but what it's obviously there's something very, very unique about Shiras Hazinu. What is it? What is it really all about? What is the special, unique nature? It's very, very mystical. It's very complex. There are many interpretations. Okay, but there are many things in the Torah. Shiras Moshe is also very, very complex, very mystical. What is the unique character of Hazinu that we dwell upon it to a degree, to an intensity? And in fact, when it says in last week's parasha, V'yato kisvu lechem es hashira hazois, and Rashi there says, what is hashira hazois referring to? Not kol haTorah kula, but the parashas Hazinu. Hazinu is called hashira hazois. It captures the whole Torah. And once you'll be able to capture Hashira Hazois Parsha Sazinu, Mimela, you take with it Kol Atarakul the Chamishe Chum Shei Torah. What's going on here? So I want to say a very similar idea. At the end of the Shira, Rashi spends an enormous amount of time and effort explaining the Shira, that the entire Shira refers to Klal Yisrael. And it's very powerful Musar. He says this Toichacha. It's powerful Musa. We can't obviously go through the whole thing, go through word for word. It's a lot of us, all it takes forever. It's very powerful stuff. And then he says, by the way, everything that I told you is only according to one opinion. There's another opinion. Let me read the words of Rashi. It's the Machloikish Rabbi Nechemia. And I already forgot everything. Rabbi Nechemia. Let me just find it one second. Here it is. Rabbi Nechemia. I'll read the word. Kiloi kitsurenu tsuram. Our rock is not like their rock. Okay, the rock of here refers to God, to Hashem. Hakol kmok shepirashti ad tachlisa. Everything that I've explained, Rashi, is at the very end of the Shira, is according to what I've explained. Then he says as follows: Rabbi Nechemia darsha klape humas. On the other hand, Rabbi Nechemia, he interprets this entire Shira referring to the nations of the world. And then Rashi briefly, he goes through the entire Shira all over again, lefi, the interpretation of Rabbi Nechemia. Now let me find the exact words. This is the Rashi which says what I wanted to say. Here it is. I'm going to go back a few lines. It's the last pasuk of Hazinu. V'chiper ad mosay amoy. Okay, then he says, Bifonim Achedim, Nidreshes Bisifrei. I'm now about to go and explain this in another way, as it says so in the Medrash of the Sifrei. V'nechluku bo Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Yehuda dorsha klape Yisrael. The entire Shira should be interpreted as a Musar Shmus, a description of Jewish history, which imbued with rebuke to Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Nechemia? No. This Shira has nothing to do with the Jewish people. This Shira was written, it's focused on the nations of the world. What's going to come to them? What the Musar that Hashem is giving to the Umma Yisraelam? Rabbi Nechemia Dorsha Eskula Kineged Ha'umais. Rabbi Yehuda Dorsha Klape Yisrael. Omar af apim. Then he goes on and he begins just to rush prakim. And then he says, but Rabbi Nechemia, hakol kamo shepirashti. And then he goes on to say, but Rabbi Nechemia, let me now tell you how he understands this. And this refers to the Umay Sola. So I want to say that's the site of this Shira. That's why this Shira is very, very special. Well, what do I mean by that? We all know.
You mean the structure?
No, not the structure. The structure, not the structure. The machloikis. Where do you have such a thing in Tanakh, where you have a massive chunk of text, and there's a machloikis tanoim, to a fundamental, elementary concept. Who is the subject? It's one thing you learn a pasuk in Tehillim and you have an expression or a pasuk. Does this pasuk refer to David's enemies or does it refer to David? And you'll be creative in interpreting these words two ways. Where do you have a chunk, a massive chunk of text, a shira, and there can be such a basic machloikis between Tanoim, Rabbi Yehud, and Rabbi Nechemiah, if this chunk of text, the subject is Klal Yisrael, or is it the Umay Sa'olam? That's an extreme difference. And we have a principle, Eilu Vo'eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim.
That's why there's a machlokas. Why do you call it a shira? So if it's for Klal Yisrael, that's the problem. If it's the Goyim, then, do not call me.
So what's going on, right? Why is it a shira?
Because it's Dam Avodecha Yikom.
So I want to say something very, very simple. Right. This is the end of the Torah. Eilu Ve'eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim. What do you do when Shabbos is over? You make Havdalah. Baruch Atah Hashem Chayim Elokim Mavdil. Bein Kodesh L'chol. Bein Or L'choshech. Bein Yisrael L'amim. Bein Yom HaShvi L'sheish HaSimei HaMaaseh. Havdalah. Hazinu is the Havdalah of the Torah. It's not the Siyam HaTorah. Okay, you have that, the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mitzvah Shabbos. Kolbach Havdalah. It's a very elaborate process. The end of the Torah was last week. The last mitzvah was Parashas Vayelech V'yata Kisvul Chemes Ashira Hazois. The last mitzvah of Tayag Mitzvahs was Ksiva Sefer Torah. We're done. Last Shabbos, we should have had Simchas Torah. It should have been Simchas Torah, last Shabbos. Vayelech was the Gemar. What are we doing this week? What are we doing next week? What are we doing on Shemini Atzeres? You're giving Vezois HaBracha, a good vach. You pack up, get into the car, pack up the pack and play. But what are we doing this week?
And so what happened now? You got to take it. I said, take it out. We have to add something.
What's going on over here?
Who wrote it?
Parshas Hazinu is Havdalah. What's the Havdalah? What does it say? There's a fundamental machlokes as what it says. Every single word of Hazinu does. Who is the subject? Who is the subject of Hazinu? Is it Klal Yisrael, or is it the Umay Sa'olam? And when you read and you study, when you read and you study, there are two very different interpretations. And we all know in Torah is unique. Eilu vo'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim. They're both correct. And when you read each pasuk, there's Klal Yisrael, and there's the Umay Sa'olam. This is Havdalah. Hamavdil ben Yisrael ben the Umay Sa'olam. La'amim. This is the Havdalah. Havdalah is a sublime concept. Havdalah, to be able to be Mavdil, it requires das. Chazal say that in Ein Das, Havdalah, where do we make Havdalah? In which bracha? Ata choinein le'odom das. Umelame le'enoy shvina. Choneinu me'itacha de'abina v'haskel. Ata choinantanu. Ata choinantanu. Where do we say Havdalah? In the bracha of das. Choneinu me'itacha. If there's no das, there's no Havdalah. Only after you conclude the entire Torah, all of the Tayag Mitzvahs, can you now take 613 words that are found in Hazinu and bring them together to summarize and appreciate the difference between us and them. That's a very powerful concept. To be able to be mouthed. Many people have a very hard time with Havdalah. To understand not everything is the same. To know how to put Mavdil ben Kodesh L'chol, ben Or L'choshech, ben Yisrael L'amim, ben Yom HaShvi L'sheish HaSimei HaMaaseh. Hazinu is the Havdalah of the Torah. The last mitzvah Shabbos ends, the last mitzvah Shalosh Shudos and Ma'ariv and concluded, with Parshas Vayelech. You take the Sefer Torah, the last mitzvah, Kisul Chemez Asher Azoyis, V'lamdas B'nei Yisrael, and the Torah summarizes, you know, the wind down. And now it's Mitzoy Shabbos. And now it's Hazinu HaShemayim V'Adaber, we're making Havdolah. There's the Mahalech of Klal, what Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, and those very same words, what Hashem's infinite Chochmah refers to the Umos Olam, their message, and you're able to see the Mavdil between us and them in every single pasuk of the 613 words, which summarizes Kol HaTorah Kula, to appreciate the Havdalah of Klal Yisrael, what makes us unique. Throughout the year, what's the difference? You walk down the street, we dress like this, they dress like that, it's all the same. Everyone pays taxes. Everyone has problems with politicians. Everyone has the same issues. No, it's not the same. There's a fundamental difference. That is the yesod of Hazinu. Okay, that's one idea. Now I want to go to another idea. In Hazinu, there's a very... If you notice, if you pay very careful attention to Hazinu, there's a theme which reappears again and again. And that's the rock. The word rock, the tzur. In the very beginning, there's a very powerful pasuk, which is it's just so fundamental to Judaism. Hatzur tamim pa'olo, ki chol d'rochav mishpat, kel emuna ve'ein ovel, tzadik v'yoshar hu. That pasuk has to be from the top psukim in the whole Torah of importance. The emuna pshuta that Hashem is perfect. The goyim, they have a very hard time with that. Very, very hard time with this concept. To be makir, to have emuna pshuta. Hatsur means the rock. Who is the rock? Hashem. Tomim polo, his deeds, his actions are perfect. Hatsur tamim ki chol derachav mishpat. Everything that Hashem does is precise. There is justice, and there is excellence in what he does. Tzadiku hatsur tamim paolo ki chol derachav mishpat kel emuna ve'ein ovel, a God of faith, and there is no wrongdoing. Tzadik v'yashar hu. Hashem is a tzaddik. Tzidduk hadin. It's an incredible concept. And this theme appears again. And by the way, something very important. What does it mean, kel emuna? This is a very important. What does it mean, kel emuna ve'in avol? What does it mean, emuna? In this week's parasha, Rashi, he says something very powerful, what it means, emuna. I'm not going to be able to find it now, unfortunately. I probably lost it. Maybe I wrote it down. Probably not. Let's see if I wrote it down. Here are my notes. Rashi says... Oh, no, I didn't write it down. But Rashi here says, Emuna, I'm recalling from memory, there's a Rashi here, we have to find the Rashi. Rashi here says that Hashem, we were not faithful. Ein lo umon ba, maybe we can find that passage. There is no faith in them. Hashem gave us the Torah, the Luchos.
32:20.
This girl is unbelievable. She's right. Rabbi Yisai, for the record, I asked, where's Lo Emun Bam? And Tamari said 32:20, and that's exactly where it is. Vayoymer astido fonai mehem, erem mo achalisam kidar tapuchos hema, bonim Lo Emun Bam. Tamari, you should really give the shir.
Ready for Yom Tov.
Unbelievable! She knew he has such a thing. Could anyone here do this? She listens. She listens to the whole shit. Mr. Marillas, pretty good, huh?
Not bad. I remember it like that every other time, every day.
Spooky, huh?
It's Friday.
Pretty spooky. Okay, banim loy emun bam. Pasuk chaf here in Rashi. What does Rashi say? Ein gidulai nikodem bohem. My greatness is not nikodem bohem. Ki hoi risim derech atoyev. Okay, umain. Okay, dover acher. Umain. Loshoin emuna. I'm quoting Rashi now. Emun, emun means faith. Ketagumoy, amru b'sinai nasa v'nishma. Very important Rashi. This Rashi, I think, is one of the most important Rashis in the whole Torah. Rashi says there's no emun bam. Amru b'sinai nasa v'nishma. Ulisho kala. And a few moments later, batlu haftachasam, they canceled their faith of nasa v'nishma. And they made the egel. Question, what does that have to do with emuna? Emuna means faith. Rashi here says, what does it mean they have no emuna? They said, nasa v'nishma, and a few minutes later, 40 days later, they made the egel. What? What's my inyan shmita eitzel har Sinai? Loy emun bam, they worshiped the egel. Period. They worship the eagle. What does Rashi have to say? They said nasa v'nishma ulishokala, and a short time later they said they worship the eagle. What's the connection? Rashi is teaching us an incredible, incredible yesod of emuna, the taitch of emuna. You know what emuna means? Stability, to stay the course. You make a commitment, you keep it. Emuna means you don't deviate. You don't not wishy-washy, not a flip-flopper. Emuna means stay the course. You commit yourself. Emuna means you're faithful not only to Hashem. You're faithful to yourself. If I make a commitment, I'm going to do something. That's it. I have to fulfill what I promise. Emuna means not just, oh, I believe in God. Very good, you believe in God. And therefore what? Whatever. To be stable, to be consistent in your behavior. Now take that translation and go back to the beginning of the parasha. Hatsur tamim palo Hashem, the rock is perfect. His actions are perfect. All of his words are exercised with justice. Kel emuna. Hashem is consistent. Hashem is not wishy-washy. Hashem, it's not that in the previous generation, Hashem had one mahalach. And in this generation, Hashem is different. Hashem, different approach to life. Kel emuna means Hashem's derech, Hashem's approach in dealing with humanity is thoroughly consistent. Don't make a mistake and think that in the time of the Avos, in the time of the Rishonim, the time of the Tanoim, in the time of the Middle Ages, oh, Hashem had one approach. Hashem, there was a certain way Hashem dealt with reward and punishment. But today, America, we're different people today. We're different people today. You know, in America's America. America's different. So Hashem has a different approach. Hashem is not so demanding. Hashem is the schar v'oinesh. And this, no. There was a mabul that destroyed the world 4,000 years ago. For ki hishchis kol basar es darkoi ala aretz, you better watch out. It could happen again. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel emuna. Hashem's behavior, Hashem's, the way Hashem conducts himself is thoroughly consistent. Nothing ever changes by Hashem. If Hashem did something 4,000 years ago because there was a certain rebellion against him, he'll do it again. If Hashem was mative to tzaddikim, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because they had faith in him, they were good, they did his mitzvahs. Leman Yitzaves, bon of Achrav, Lishmor, Derech Hashem, and because of that, they received incredible bracha. It'll happen again if you follow in their ways. Hashem is Kel Emuna. What does Emuna mean? Go to the Rashi. Lo Emun Bam. They're inconsistent. They say Nasa V'Nishma. 40 days later, there they are, worshiping the egel. Inconsistency in your behavior. That's you, not me. Hashem is Kel Emuna. Nothing ever changes. Okay, that was a side point, but it's in the, you said it in and of itself. You have your pasuk
contrasted with Dori Keshu Kesalto.
Dori Keshu Kesalto, correct. That we are inconsistent, correct? But here, I want to focus on the fact that over here, in the beginning of this Shira, we focus on Hashem as the Tzur. Hatzur Tamim Polo. At the end of the Shira, we go back to that principle. We say, Loi Kitsureinu Kitsuram. The Goyim, their rock, I don't even know where it is. Let's ask Tamar. Tamari, where does it say, Ki Loi Kitsureinu Tsuram?
32:29.
29.
Is the answer.
The answer. Okay, very close. Lamed Aleph. Could it be that it's Lamed Aleph?
Yeah.
Yes, excellent. I wouldn't get it even within 10 psukim. Ki loy chitzureinu tzuram. Wait, what did you say, Tom? What did you say? You said 29? Let's look at 29. Okay, he's very close. Ki loy chitzureinu tzuram. Again, nochamal, the din of the tzur, the rock. What's this with the rock? Is there even more? I think there's another, the Kuri, there's more expressions about the rock. What's the rock all about? So I want to say a chiddush. You might not like this chiddush. At the end, after we finish the Shira, Vayavoy Moshe Vayidaber, it's called Divrei HaShira Zoyis B'Ozne Ha'am Huv Hoyeshe Benun. Vayichal Moshe Vayidaber, it's called Ramo Eile El Kol Yisrael. And then Hashem gives Musa to Moshe one more time. Okay, Hashem, like Imam, she rubs it in.
By the way, 613 words? Impossible.
This is what Bamayevsky told me.
Maybe letters.
It's only 32
psukim. I'm sorry. Letters, maybe. Maybe letters. I don't know. Maybe it's referring to more.
Average of 5.
Okay, you have to.
5 words. It's 150. Each word is average of 4 or 5 letters.
It has to be letters.
Okay, letters. Dvaram shabarti, tohu sein biyadi. Letters. We have to count it. Tamari, do you know how many letters there are in Hazinu?
52.
Psukim. There are 52 psukim. There are 52 psukim, yes, in the Hazinu. But how many letters are there? How many letters are there in the Shiras Hazinu? I'll give you a project. How many letters are there in Shiras Hazinu? Supposedly there are 613. All right, let's see. At the end, you know, this is very bizarre. Hashem keeps on rubbing it into Moshe. You're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. You know why? You know why you're not going to Eretz Yisrael? Because you rebelled. You hit the rock. You didn't talk to the rock. Not again and again and again. Ki loy davar reik hu mikem ki hu chayechem va davar hazetich in aldama. I'm sorry, I said, vayem aldama v'stimu levavchem v'chol dvarim. I'm sorry, let's go further. Next passage, vayedav shal moshe v'yom Alei el har ho avorim hazeu har nevoi asher beretzmoyav asher al pnei yirecho v'reis kol aretz umus v'har asher ato ilo shema v'yosik lo mecha kasher mecha lecha al asher me'al tem bi b'soich b'nei yishol b'mei mrivas kodesh midbar tzin al asher lo kidashtem oisi b'soich b'nei Yisrael. Nochamo, how many times does the Torah have to emphasize this? Moshe, you're not going to go because you rebelled against me. You hit the rock and you did not speak to the rock. What is this all about the rock? The rock, the rock, the rock. Hitting the rock, speaking to the rock. So what is this? Some drush. And Moshe Rabbeinu says in the beginning of Hazinu, in the beginning at the end, in the beginning he says, Hatsur Tamim Paolo. The rock. Our rock is perfect. It's a very unique way to describe Hashem. I always wanted him to have a little contrast of all the different terms in Tanakh that are used to describe Hashem. Besides the 7 names of Hashem, She'enem Nimchokim, there are so many expressions in Tanakh that we've learned.
You mean the descriptions?
Descriptions. Well, descriptions of Hashem. So many, what? Mo'oisur Yeshuasi, Hamelech. What about the word Hamelech? Hamelech. Okay, in the Megillah, every time Hamelech refers to the Melech Malchi Amlachim. There's a plethora of terms, descriptions. And here's another one. Hatsur Tamim Polo. Hashem is called the Tzur. At the end of the of Hazinu, okay, this is Kamad, the end of Hazinu. And I take that back. It's not the end, it's in the middle. It's really in the middle. Imloi ki tsuram tsuram mocharam. That's another term, right? That's another term. Ki loi chit surenu tsuram. It keeps on using this term. A rock. A rock. Hashem is our rock. And the Goyim, they worship idols. Their Avodah Zarah is their rock. We use this term again and again. At least here I have in front of me 3 times. Maybe there are more. 3 times referring to Hashem as a rock. But the most important one, really, without any question, is the beginning of Hazinu, where it says, Hatsur Tamim Polo. Because that pasuk, it says a lot. Another pasuk here, Tsur Yeladicha Teshi. A 4th reference to a rock. The rock that gave birth to you, referring to Hashem, who Hashkadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol created Klal Yisrael, Tsur Yeladicha Teshi. Already a 4th reference to a rock. There's probably even more. Another one. Vayeni Keu Devash Misela.
Okay,
a Sela, another rock. It's a common theme in this Shira. What is this going on here with the rock? So one answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu, he brought water out of the rock twice. In the beginning of the 40 years, and at the end of the 40 years. In the beginning of the 40 years, Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, find a rock and hit it. Hit it hard. Take a club and give it a zetz. Hit it and water will come out. 40 years later, there was no water. And Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, this time you're not going to hit the rock, you're going to speak to the rock. And Moshe made a mistake. Instead, he hit the rock. And Hashem says, this there's no forgiveness for. What's the pshat? Now this is a drush. It's a little bit dangerous, what I'm going to say. The rock is Mesamel Hashem. Mayim, Ein Mayim El Torah, Yisrael V'Oraisa V'Kudsh Baruch Hu Chadhu. Hashem, from the rock comes Mayim. Mayim it sustains human being. Without water, you can't live. Mayim is Torah, Mitzad Sheni, it's Torah. Hashem, Yisrael V'Oraisa, Oraisa is Torah. When Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, we were babies. We were immature children. We were slaves in Egypt. We were thoroughly ignorant. What do we have already? What were we? 210 years in Egypt, the Malachi Hashareh said, Halalu Avdi Avodah Zarah, Halalu Avdi Avodah Zarah. What do you see in these people, Hashem? They challenged Hashem. What do you see in them? What's the difference? These are malachim. The malachim are a good kasha. What are you taking these people out of? What's so special about them? What do you see in them? Hashem saw something in us. But yet, there was a lot of work to do. There was a lot of hard work to refine us, to bring us to a point where they can be an Or La'amim. But in the beginning, we're a bunch of babies. And when you're a baby, yeah, everyone knows that a child goes to his parents and throws a temper tantrum and he gets whatever he wants. You go to your parents and you bang on the floor and you hit your parents and you do to your parents whatever you want and they give you whatever you want. No. That's the way it goes. What?
That's how you create a monster.
Well, it's a process. But when the baby is born, the parents are staying up the whole night. They're petrified. The first child, parents, the first child, after you get it ready to a couple of kids, then you're not so worried anymore. I always tell you this story. A kid, a newborn baby, gets a little kid, he begins to eat. The cookie, give him a cookie. The cookie falls on the floor. What do you do? The cookie fell on the floor. Oy, gewalt. If he'll eat this cookie, who knows what he'll get, what diseases, bacteria. Who knows what's going to be with him? You take the cookie, throw it in the garbage. The second child, when he gets to that stage, the cookie falls on the floor, what do? The cookie falls on the floor. You pick it up, you brush it off, and you give it to him. The third child, you put the cookie on the floor, lechatchila. There are more stages in the middle. Okay, but the first child, you throw the cookie in the garbage. Okay, You're terrified. I see new parents, the mamas are terrified of the first child. They don't know what to do. If the kid cries, they're just shaking. They don't know what to do. What do we do wrong? Why is the child awake crying in the middle of the night? It takes time to learn. Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim. Moshe hit the rock. Hit the rock. Who's the rock? Who is the rock? I'm the rock. Hatsur Tamim Paolo. The Sela, the Tsur. Okay, you have to be Dan. Is it the same word? Not the same word, but it's the same idea. You want water. You want Mayim. You want sustenance. You want Torah. Hashem says, you know, you're children. You're immature. You know, you can hit me. Go right ahead. Try to hit me. I'll give you whatever you want. I'm giving you a pass because the truth is, you know, different than the Egyptians. It's going to be a long process. Let's begin the process. And when you deal with a child, you let a child get away with quite a bit. You're immature, so go ahead, hit me. You, Moshe, you represent the Jewish people. It's now been 40 years. Been 40 years. It's time to grow up. And when you come to your father, you don't hit him. You don't behave like that. It's you're in a different stage in your life. It's time to grow up. How could it be, Moshe Rabbeinu, after 40 years, nothing has changed? When you come to me, you behave like a toddler. And you hit the rock. I'm the rock! Hatsur Tamim Polo, symbolically. Hatsur Tamim Polo. Tsur Yilodcha Teshi. Kiloi Kitsureinu Tsuram. Moshe, what are you hitting? You're not a baby anymore. Klal Yisrael are not babies anymore. It's time to grow up, shape up. You haven't matured after 40 years. This, there's no excuse. For this, there's no excuse. Here, there has to now be accountability. There has to be accountability. That's the word. There has to be, got to deal with this. There's going to be punishment. You're not going into Eretz Yisrael whether you like it or not. That's a very powerful Musar of Hazinu. The whole Hazinu is develops the theme. One of the motifs of Hazinu is the rock. The rock, the tsur. Kiloi kitzurenu kitzuram, tsur yilod choteshi. Va yeni keyu divash, misela. And there are probably even more. And the Musa Haskell is, in life, every year, you have to acknowledge you're older, you have more experience, you've seen more, you've learned more, you've developed more, you've davened more. It's not the same it was last year. It's time to grow up and accept responsibility and to do your part in this world. Okay, to conclude, I want to talk a little bit about Sukkos. We're coming now to Sukkos. We take the Dalet Minim, the Esrog. What is the Esrog? I'll tell you a very interesting story. I think one of the Gedolei Yisrael, I think it was Abba Grossbart. Is that the proper name? Someone that was very close with the Chazon Ish. I don't remember the exact name, so you can put any name you want on it. The Maisa was, there was a very big Rosh Shiva, and he learned Bechavrusa with one of his Talmidim, a young Talmud. And he told the Talmud, you know, I got today an Esroig like you've never, ever seen. Someone gave it to me. And, you know, I don't want to use it. Because everyone looks at me. They take pictures of me. I come to shul. You know, I'm from the Gedolei Hadar. They're going to come on Sukkos. I come to shul. The photographers come to Chol Hamoed. I don't want to brag. I have such a beautiful esrog. I don't want to use it. I have another esrog, which is appropriate. I have another very nice esrog. That's the right esrog for me. I want to give it to you. Come to my house. I want to give it to you. So this Talmud, a young bacha, he comes to the house. And this very big Chasher Rosh Yeshiva opens up and he shows them the Esrog. This boy looks at the Yeshrik, he never saw something like this. Magnificent beyond belief. Okay, everything about it, clean like a whistle. Gidl, big, blitois, pitum, ukets, you name it, everything is perfect. Please, please do me a favor. I learn with you the whole year. You're very good to me, you mashamish me, you're very kind to me. I can't bring this into the shul. People, they look at me, I don't need this, you know, these people, they look at me. I have another restaurant, please, you have it. So he says, no, I'm not going to take this, no. He insists, he gives it to him. And then after he gives it to him, he finally takes it, he goes over to him and he whispers in his ear, don't make a bracha on the esrog. Don't make a bracha. And they're like, what? This bocher is like totally, totally confused. What? What are you telling me? You told me as esrog, you give it to me. Don't make a bracha? Why are you whispering? So he lets him think. Then he says to him at the end, he says to him, this esrog is a murkav. Basically, it's possible. Not possible, but I can't say it's mamash possible, but basically, it's not too kosher. It's been grafted. It's really a lemon. A lemon that somehow became beautiful. It looks like a gorgeous esrog. And he says to him, that's the lesson in life. Don't be a faker. He said to him, You go around, you're gorgeous. Wow. Ashamed. The Eshug is a marshal. It's a shame of yid. It's a big Baal Tzedakah. A big Baal Chesi. You know, he looks to the outside world. Wow. What a person. The truth is, under the hood, not everything is L'shem Shemayim. Not everything, it's all for show. It's all ulterior motives. You take an esrog, you look at the esrog, you got to say to yourself, you know, this esrog is a gorgeous esrog. Is it really kosher? Is the yichus really kosher? What's really going on? It's interesting, this year, more than all other years, because it's Shemitah, so in the Shemitah year, here in Chutz Li'aretz, we mentioned this yesterday, there's, you know, Achshrei Dora. Achshrei Dora in this generation, this really for the very first time, probably, in maybe even in all of years of Golos, at least in the last, who knows how many years, there's not much of a problem of getting an Esrog that does not have the two major issues of Shemitah. Two major issues are, number one, the prohibition to remove fruit that has Kedusha Shvius from Eretz Yisrael. And the second prohibition is not doing business with the produce of Shvius. These are two very big problems. And in Halacha, there are solutions. Mm-hmm. There are solutions. But the solutions, no one will tell you that the solutions are ideal. The solutions have problems. So there are solutions, but there's solutions. This year, there's a plethora of Moroccan esrogim, Italian esrogim, California esrogim, and maybe there are other esrogim. And the very big question then becomes, any esrog that has been grown in Chutz La'aretz, the first problem is yichus. Is it really an esrog? Because that's not where we come from. We come from Eretz Yisrael, and Chutz Li'aretz, it's not our land, and Goyim, they do whatever they want to the fruits, and when there's business, and there's this, and there's that, there's always a suspicion that the Esrogim have been Murkov, and they're not authentic. And a lot of the Esrogim, the Moroccan Esrogim, they have Hechsherim, okay, it's a very big thing. You get a Moroccan Esrogim, not all Moroccan Esrogim are the same. At least, I mean, I can't tell you because I don't know what's really going on behind the scenes, but it seems from what I'm hearing is that not all Moroccan Mishrogim are the same. There are Moroccan Mishrogim which come from Pardesim, which have been more guarded than others, and there are Moroccan Mishrogim that have just been total hefker. And the bottom line is they're all kosher without any question. The Yanava, the Greek, the Italian Esrogim, Okay, so you know there's certain there are different parts of Italy where they get them from. And there's a certain thing, and this year there's a shortage because they're trying not to import from Eretz Yisrael, because the people are very much, they want to be mahader. There's a very big demand for Italian esrogim and Moroccan esrogim, and the supply is not sufficient. So people are, you know, there's a question, where exactly is it coming from? And the Yichus, this year, it's almost Hashem is being toveah from us. Are you a phony? More so than all the other years, you get from Eretz Yisrael. 95% of the esrogim in a regular year come from Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, there doesn't seem there's any more of a problem of a Murkav. It doesn't seem to be much of a problem. Eretz Yisrael, this year Hashem is giving us Musa. He's saying to you, you're getting an estrog from Chutz Li'aretz. You know, this is not the Eretz HaKodesh. It's not the same. It's a different sukkahs this year. When you take an estrog from Chutz La'aretz, you don't have the Maila of the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael. It's a different. And although it's Adarabba, you're not taking the Eretz Yisrael as an act of to be machshev the kedushas haaretz. That's a maila, but everything in life is a trade-off. Connected the maila of being machshev the kedushas haaretz. The bottom line is: so why don't you go to Eretz Yisrael this year and be able to take an eshek from Eretz Yisrael? I'm sure there are pardesim. I'm sure there are people that are going to pardesim that are hefker and they pluck their own esrogim. You gotta be very careful. I saw a video. There was a poisonous snake. A poisonous snake in the paradise of esrogim. Could you imagine? Mamash can kill a person. There are poisonous snakes in some of these paradesim. You gotta be very, very careful. They open up the paradesim. They let people come, take whatever they want, as the halacha demands. But you gotta be very, very careful. They showed a video of a professional with using professional tools to remove what they showed to be a very dangerous poisonous snake. So yeah, I know everything. You know, everything's not. Nothing is pasha in this world. Nothing is a guarantee. Okay, let me tell you something. There are three things that we do with an esrog. What are the three things we do with an esrog in the luf? Number one, this lakich, you take it. The Torah says ulakachtem lachem bayom harishon pri eitz hadar. What's the next thing you do with it? You shake it. Let's say you don't shake it. You go to the mitzvah, for sure. If you make a rasher, kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'mitzvonu al netilas lulav, and you hold it, are you yoytzei the mitzvah? 100%. You have to shake it? You definitely should, but the mitzvah deraisa is to take it. Ulekachtem lochem. That's the mitzvah, take it. And that's why when you make the bracha, either you turn the eshrik upside down, or you have kavana not to be yoytzei. Anything else you do? Any other techniques? What?
You don't pick it up, though.
You don't pick it up?
You make the bracha and then you pick it up.
Yeah? Some people do that. I don't know. For some reason, no one does that. There are two main techniques. One technique, which I think most people do, is you turn the esrog upside down. Mayor, how would you like if someone turned you upside down? Upside down. Okay, you turn it upside down. I always found it to be very, very zilzel, no? You turn S upside down, and then you make the bracha. Oh, and now you turn right side up. Does that mean that you're not yoytzei? If you turn it up, that if you hold it upside down, you make the bracha. Let's say the whole sukkah, you go with an upside down, and you're not yoytzei? Is that taka the halacha? You're not yoytzei? Can you really say you're not yoytzei if you hold an eshek upside down the whole davening? You never took it upside down? I don't know, maybe. Is that really, it has to be derech gidula. We all know that halacha. You have to do the mitzvah derech the way it grows. An esher grows right side up. So that's the way you do the mitzvah. Is that ma'akev? Is that ma'akev in the mitzvah? L'chayr it is. Otherwise, what's the purpose of turning it upside down? Or maybe this yev shebe yiracher has to be over la'siyasim. I don't know the sugya. This is a big sugya. You have to go be
upside.
What?
Doesn't it grow downward?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what goes on. I don't know. I saw the picture of them growing. They grow like sideways. Sideways. Not the orchids. Orchids on the bottom side. When it gets heavy, it begins to fall. It begins like on an angle. They're not perfectly straight up.
Of course they're not.
But when they grow, when they grow, when they bud, when they first bud and they begin to grow, they're right side up. Then as they get heavy, they begin to tilt. They begin, some of them, they mamish, they fall down opposite, they fall down. And some of them are like on an angle. I don't know the answer. Is it ma'akev? It seems that it is. I don't know. Maybe it's a Mishnah Berurah. I don't know the answer. But basically, okay, that's what I want to go. Basically, you take, and what do? You shake it. The next thing you do is you shake it. And what's the next thing you do with the yeshok? Hakafas. There are three mitzvahs, hayoim, on Sukkot to do with your dalad minim. Number one, ulekachtem lochem pri eitz hodar. Kapo is tmon va'anath eitz ovitz ve'arvi nochal usamachtem. Take it. We make the bracha oivel asiyasa, we turn it upside down, because if you already hold the eshok right side up, you're ready yoytze. Then the bracha can't be oivel asiyasa. So therefore, we want you to take the eshok upside down, because the whole mitzvah is just to take it. And then there's a second mitzvah. The second mitzvah is to shake it. And then there's a third mitzvah, to be makif. To be makif, it's a minug. It's a minug. Deraisa. Chazal, it's Akonas Chazal. I think it's part of Usamachtem. It's part of the mitzvah. Usamachtem is to shake it. The way you indicate that you're besimcha is you shake. Usamachtem, it is an expression of joy to shake it. It shows you're happy. You want to show it off. You want it to rattle. It is an expression of usamachtem. It's not a deraisa, but it's a chelik of the mitzvah. And then there's the minag nevim. You have to know that's really the arava, where it comes from. What? No, but it's not only the arava. Not only I'll prove to you it's not because there is a hakpada. The machleik is between Ashkenaz and Sfarad. When do you do hakafas? Do you do after musaf or do you do after shachas? What is it all about? Why? Okay. That's the truth, right? That's akesef yanes hakol. Okay, it's just more practical, right? It's more practical. But why taka for the? What's the real reason why svarid ma'makbit? Because, and also another halacha. When you take your lulav and esher, when do you take the lulav and esher? Do you take it in the morning? There's a beautiful minute to make the bracha and the lulav and esher in the sukkah, to be mitzarev, to be ma'arev, the mitzvah of dalid minim with the mitzvah of sukkah, to put the two mitzvahs together. It's a very beautiful minhag. Now there's a problem. Like we said yesterday, everything in life is a trade-off. Mm-hmm. What's the trade-off? Look, the ikar na'anuim, shaking of the lulav, is during halel. Now we shake it when you make the bracha, asher k'dashon b'mitzvah tzvanu, al netilas lulav, and you shake it. But that's not the ikar na'anuim. The ikar na'anuim is halel. When you say halel, that's usimachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem. When you say halel, it is an expression of simcha. And that's when you have to show the simcha with the dalid, meaning the shaking. Ad kidei kach, the medaktikim, people that are very medaktik, will not, they're different minhagim, they're all different, it's very complicated, there's no solution. Chaim Blin doesn't, they come close, but not perfect, is, the idea. You know what the ideal thing really to do is to before, When you come to Hallel, you stop. You go into the sukkah and you make the bracha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al netilas lulav. You shake the lulav and esrog in the sukkah. You immediately come back to shul and you do not be mafsik. Do not talk from the moment you make the bracha of al netilas lulav. You immediately begin halel, and then you shake it during halel, and after halel you do hoshanis. That way, and you're not mafsik. That way, what?
I've seen a lot of places.
They're very fortunate. But they talk. They talk in the middle. They shouldn't talk. You're right. They talk. How many times do you see people in the middle of Shemona Esrei? They take out their cell phone. Hello, I'm Mil Davin Shemona Esrei, and I can't talk to you. How do you mind? Where'd you go to school? Who taught you that? So, but the truth is, what's the Mila? You've made a bracha on all three elements. You made the bracha on the netila, and you even did it in the sukkah. And then you were not mafsik. And then you said halal, and during the halal you shook the lulav and esrog. And right after you shook the lulav and the esrog, you did the hakofa. You did the hakofa around the bima with your lulav and esrog.
Without a hefsik.
If you dive in a place, if you dive in a place where they do hashanis after halal,
but again,
shachris.
They don't talk out in between.
No, you shouldn't talk out. Once you talk, you ruin it. You messed up big time. You messed up. If you can do that, it's a wow. To make a bracha of Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al netilas lulav, and be able to do the netila and the nanuim and the hakafos, the bracha that you have made is chal on all three. Okay, that's a home run. Because most people, what do? Let's say you dive in Chaim Berlin. In Chaim Berlin, a very nice minute, they have a big sukkah, and they have a big break. In fact, the break is too big sometimes. And after they finish Hamavarech HaSamo Yisrael Bashalayim, everyone goes to the sukkah. Everyone packs out, goes to the sukkah. It's a very long line to get into the sukkah. Gridlock alert. And they go into the sukkah, and they shake the Levin Esher. They come back, 20 minutes later, they start halal. Okay, now it's not 20 minutes later because, unfortunately, the Rashiva's not there. It used to be very, very quick. It used to be very, very quick, but then the Rashiva, unfortunately, was not always well. So it took the Rashiva time to go out to the sukkah. It came, and unfortunately now he doesn't come.
He's in the hospital.
So now he doesn't come. And the Mela, they just go very quickly. They just go very quick. They give very little time. So this is a very nice thing. You go into the sukkah, you ma'arev the mitzvah of the dalad minim, you make the bracha in the sukkah, and you're quiet. You're not mafsik. And then right away, baruch atah Hashem, okay, melech lam asher, kiddushan b'mitzvah, b'tzvanu, likroya sahalel. And then you come to hoidu, you shake the lulav and esrog. The bracha that you made al netilas lulav is chal, on the Na'anuim during Hallel. And then, here's where Chaim gets ruined, because after they finish, then they're mafsek, because then they have Kriyas HaTorah, and Shemona Esrei, and then Chazaras HaShatz. And then, at the end of Musaf, they do the HaKafos. But if you daven in a place that davens like Sfard, or a place that davens Ashkenaz, who violates the rules,
and does it
after Shacharis, and don't believe it's for any religious reasons, it's because it's just much more practical, okay? So then you have a maila that if you're not mafsik, forget about the sukkah, even if you don't have a sukkah in the shul, some shuls have a...
The Anuim in the Beis HaMikdash, they were made around the Mizbeach?
No, the Anuim were made Stam, the Anuim were doing Hala, the Anuim was... They went around the Mizbeach of the Arava. There's no Mekar, there's a Machlekes Shul Snatch, there's a Machlekes Rishayim if they went around the Mizbeach with the Lulav and Esrog as well. Gemara Sukkah, I'm almost certain. There's a machloikis on a Shana Rabbah. They didn't go around. They surrounded the mizbech with erava. The Gemara, the discussion in the Gemara, what exactly went around? They used the lulav and esrog also. It's not so posh. They did not. It's not so posh. The whole maaser, they stoned. They threw the esrog on. What did they do with the esrog in the end? The guy, the stokey, who poured the water. There's a big topic of discussion. In any event, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is the Minhag Yisrael. The Minhag Yisrael is to do hakafos with the dalid meaning. That's the way it is. No one disagrees with this. This is the Minhag Yisrael. This is the takana. Do you make a brach on this? Absolutely not. You don't make a brach on this. However, there are three avoidos. You have to appreciate the avoidos. And this big heavy duty stuff. This is not lightweight stuff. There are three avoidos on sukkis of what you do with the lulav and esrog. You take it to show that the mitzvah is a lekicha. You turn it upside down. Because just by taking it, you're yoytze. So it's a din of lekicha. U'lekachtem lochem. There's another avoida. To shake. U'simachtem. Halleluka. Hallelu es Hashem. Hoidu la Hashem. Ona Hashem. These are expressions of shevech v'hoida. And you shake it. U'simachtem. And there's a third avoida. Of being makif, the mizbeach, being makif, the shulchan, the bima, which is the dugma of the mizbeach. Three avoidos. And to be able that the barocha you make should be chal in all three, that's magnificent. So if you have an opportunity to do all three, take advantage. Don't talk. You see in shul, people, they shake the lulav and eshuk. Okay, you don't go out. Most shuls, you don't go out. You finish Shemona Esrei. And most people did not already make it in the morning before Shacharis at home in their sukkah. Some do. But most people usually do not. They come to shul late, right? And then they come to shul and they take the lulav and eshuk. And the shul gives you maybe 60 seconds to make the bracha. And, oh, during those 60 seconds, you can't control yourself. You got to go ask who won the game last night. Did the Nets, the Dodgers, who won the game last night? Come on! You already made the bracha. Once you made the bracha of Al Natil Aslulov, don't be mafsik. Don't say, oh, where'd you get that eshuk from? A Moroccan, a Yanava, an Eretz Yisrael, it's the Bezdin, which Eretz the Bezdin? Hold back. It's 60 seconds. How hard is it? The Yetzer Hara is so great. It is so great to get you to talk during those 60 seconds, to be mafsik, so that the bracha you made will not be chal on the nanuim you're going to do during Hallel. What a tragedy. Over here, in one of my sermons over here, he talks about this at length, that according to many some Rishonim, the ikar is to shake during Hallel. We don't paskin like this, but there's no certainty, there's certainly a very, very important element of the Dalet Minim is to shake during Hallel, and it deserves a bracha in its own right. And it's not always practical to make a bracha for that alone, because some people, they make the bracha early in the morning at home in their sukkah before they go to shul. But if you are from those who are making the bracha in shul before you are reciting Hallel, take advantage. The bracha should be chal on the nanuim of Hallel. And then you have the maila of it being chal upon the hakafos. Okay, that's halacha. And there's a lot more.
I think more people put the emphasis more to do the bracha even at home in your sukkah.
Okay, 100%. There's a trade-off. As we discussed yesterday, everything in life is a trade-off. You can't have it all.
Have it in mind. So you talk that.
Okay, you're right. There's truth to that. Have it in mind. It's not the same, but have it in mind. You're right. It's right. Have it in mind. Have it in mind, even though you have in mind that when you make the bracha in the morning on the netilah, on the nanum, you have in mind that it's also going to be chal for the nanum of Hallel and for the hakafas of Hashanah. Ah, you're mafsik. So no, you're mafsik. Look, you take a drink of water, no, you make the bracha, you're mafsik. But that's the brachas hanenin. This is the brachas hamitzvahs. You can't compare this. Now, it's not always the same. Listen, everything has madregos and everything is a trade-off. If you go to a shul where they have a sukkah, and they daven, they do the nanuim after shacharis, it's unbelievable. You have all the milas. You have all the milas. You can make a bracha in a sukkah. Immediately you go into Hallel, where you do the nanuim, and right after the nanuim, you do the hakafas. You mamish got it all. What better can you possibly want? Okay, not every shul has you have that opportunity. Don't know how to give a break. Then my father, the young Israel, my father did in the young Israel. The imam had it all. In the young Israel of Avenue J, Avrami Gross here, my father used to go out to the sukkah, and then they had the nanuim, and they did hakafas after shacharis. They had everything. Most people in the young Israel, very few went out to the sukkah. My father would go out, they waited for my father. It took literally 10 seconds. He went out.
Yes, now only one.
What?
Ned Epstein goes. That's it.
Ned Epstein, he goes out, you wait for him?
Yeah, of course.
You wait for Ned Epstein. My father used to go out to the sukkah, you come back, so you make the bracha in the sukkah with the nanum in the sukkah, then you come back immediately, asher kedushan b'mitzvah al likoyas ha-halel, and then, after halel, hakafis, around the bima. All three avodos in one shot, the bracha is chal on all three. If you can do it, kol hakavod, ashrecha. Now, what's the drush? Now let's discuss the drush. There are three avoidos. Lekicha, nanua, the nanuim in Hallel, and hakafas. Al shloisha devarim ha'oilam oimed. Al ha'toira v'al ho'avoida v'al gemilas chasodim. Torah, ki lekach toiv nosati lochem. Torah si al ta'azayvu. Torah is called a lekach. a lekach toif. Torah, the Dalet Minim, to a degree represents Torah. Okay, there's a, this itself is four different minim, what they all represent. Ulekachtem lochem pri etzadar. When you take the Dalet Minim, you being mesamel Torah. Ki lekach toiv nasati lochem. When you shake it during Hallel, this is avoida. You're in a state of prayer, a state you're in a state of communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hallel is a very sublime moment. Avoida, alu avoida. And then when you finish the Torah and the avoida, go for a walk. There are people out there that need a lot of help. Make your hakafos. Go travel. See all the poor people who need help. People who need chasadim. People who need shidduchim. People who can use your assistance. Make your hakafos.
There was a guy in front of the Landau Shul yesterday. Somebody told me Shul today. He had a van full of Arvamina. And he was asking people to help him because he has a list of almanas and yeah, Simon who need it. Can you please
make deliver? Yes.
Deliver.
You know the Samchenu. You know there's an organization called Samchenu. Samchenu is an incredible organization. They mechazik almanos. It's called Samchenu. So I know for a fact someone came to me yesterday. He showed me an eshug. He wanted to know if it's kosher. He showed me a yan of eshug. I couldn't. He says, "Where'd you get this?" They gave this to his mother. They gave his Samchenu delivered, hand delivered this eshug. The eshug is a $250 eshug, beyond a shadow of a doubt. It was the yan of the eshug, clean as a whistle. It was a gorgeous eshug. There's no doubt in my mind. It's a $250 eshug. Samchenu, gift. Shtilahate. All the almanas. They're gonna go run to the store to go buy a shrogim. They delivered to all of the almanas in all the neighborhoods and their network. Unbelievable. It's not to be believed.